Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a friend and someone who's very, very accomplished in business from Canada, Leanne Bucaro. Leanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ash. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Leanne is the CEO and founder of InfinityCom. She's also the CEO of Bad Kitty Productions. She specializes in thought leadership, multimedia campaigns, corporate storytelling, and creative content. And today we'll talk to her about thought leadership. So, Leanne, before we start talking about thought leadership, when I was looking at your LinkedIn profile, you say that you are a creative CEO embracing her ADHD as a superpower. Help That's me understand true. This, and what are your learnings and challenges?
Well, so I was diagnosed in 2004 with ADHD, which I immediately ignored because I didn't know what it meant. I knew that when Alan and I so Alan is my business partner, and I knew I had to get a business partner because there were just certain things that I just, my brain didn't go there. Things, important things like invoicing and getting money. So my brain, so I started to, especially during the pandemic, I started to really understand my brain. I'm also really good at recognizing other people who have ADHD. And in dealing with a lot of CEOs, which we do in thought leadership, it's important to identify any special powers, I'll call it. Many, many CEOs have ADHD, some undiagnosed, because it helps in the way we work with them.
Sure.
It was important for me to understand my brain because I think, and I call it a superpower because I look at everything different than everyone else.
Sure.
When it comes to creative, when it comes to problem solving, my brain works really fast, but it only works on the things it wants to work on. So it's building the skill to try to get it disciplined to focus on something that might not be something it wants to focus on.
Wonderful.
It's also important, and I just want to say this, because we hear from a lot of employees or past employees of other companies, that CEO was crazy, or that leader, that manager was crazy. And so I think it's important to recognize it and communicate that to staff so that they know that you're not ignoring them. It's just how your brain works. And every person with ADHD is different. But it's important so that they understand it's not, they don't take it personally.
Wonderful.
If that makes sense.
No, it makes absolute sense. And that's a great explanation of ADHD for me as well. So let's now move to our next conversation, which is on thought leadership. Let me start by asking you, for my very young audience, what is thought leadership and why is it important for us to become a thought leader?
So what is thought leadership is always the question, because I am not a fan of the word thought leadership for the simple reason that most people define it as the big, I'll call them the big people. So Simon Sinek and Gary Vee and the people with millions and millions of followers and audience. And it's really not true. So a thought leader is someone who is, who has a platform, is an expert in something, and is sharing that knowledge with their audience, whoever that audience might be, and through engaging content. So we call it defining your narrative or uncovering your narrative. So everybody, every CEO for sure has a story. The question is, do they want to share it? Some people are very private and maybe choose at this point not to share it. But I think it's important to share it because it's about what we're leaving behind. I mean, what we're giving back. I mean, our journey for me, so this is personal opinion, but for me, there's no greater feeling than knowing you've impacted someone else's journey or taught them something that will help them in their journey. So, And there's so many interesting stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we think about, if you think about the CEOs that you've interviewed over the years, almost 1,000, and all of their stories, if they had all been doing thought leadership and and communicating that regularly, whatever their platform, their narrative is, think of all of the learning. I mean, you scratch the surface for sure with this, with the Brett called you. And if that went more in depth with each person you interviewed, it would really change social for good.
Correct.
Like social media needs to be more of a positive force than some of the negative that's happening now. So yeah, I feel like there is no shortage of business, and it's a lot of fun to work with CEOs.
I understand. But tell me, Leanne, you're an expert in thought leadership. What should one be doing to be seen as a thought leader? Public speaking, writing, social media, or what else?
All of the above. So we start with them, first of all. A lot of CEOs, part of the challenges, I think, Ash, is, well, in the two kinds of thought leadership, one kind is more of a marketing based and that would generate leads. And it's kind of the organization that does that. The other kind, which is sort of editorial based, which is what you do, is about, you know, really defining the CEO's passion and expertise and who they want their audience to be. And then we help them build content, or if they're doing it on their own, just get a bunch of content. And we start with video. And then from that, we do blogs. They can turn that into, you know, so blogs, video, they can do audio clips, quotes, that kind of thing. And then once they start to get really comfortable with their platform, because, you know, you kind of have to test it along the way, see what people are reacting to, and absolutely social, posting on social, because that's where all the videos will go, and engaging with your audience. And then, you know, you can either make the effort to reach out to media, or a lot of times if you're on Twitter and LinkedIn and, you know, people start to see your content, the media will come. Or you can reach out to them. I mean, part of my background is media and PR, so it's probably easy for her to say, but it's true. I mean, if you're being bold and you're very convincing in your convictions and in what you're saying, and you're doing it to help, you're doing it for good, then the media will come when there's an opportunity for a story, I believe.
So, you know, whenever I speak to someone who would like to be seen as a thought leader and therefore needs to raise their profile through all the various things that you've just spoken about, one of the big fears they have is criticism and trolling. How does one tackle this whole aspect of putting my thoughts out in the open and getting criticized for it?
Yeah, that is the challenge. Because there are trolls and there are keyboard warriors. So there's two ways to deal with them. There are some that just pop into different content creators and say ridiculous, angry, mean things. Those I would recommend not engaging with them, deleting them, blocking them, because you're always going to have those. Correct. Same as if you were speaking somewhere, you could have somebody heckle you. Correct. So if it's someone, so what we have to be careful of is if someone has a difference of opinion, I think that's fair. As a thought leader, I would encourage that. I would encourage people to debate or discuss, or I mean, because presumably I have my opinion, which is what I'm, you know, is about my platform. And I'm sure there's people that disagree with me, that every CEO has a narrative. Actually, to be honest, Alan disagreed with me at first, but we're all entitled to our opinion. And I'm happy for people to debate because that's engaging and that's how people learn. But if people are just making comments about something related. There was a CEO that built his company from the ground up and then sold it for quite a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about his journey because he was teaching entrepreneurs sort of a process.
Right.
And someone said, well, that's easy for you to say. You were born with money. But he wasn't. He came from nothing. Correct. So he just totally shut that person down and said, no, not true. Like, go here and you can hear the beginning of my story. Mm. And so I think there's three things. You can block, you can delete and block. You can, if it's debate, then I think it's amazing to engage. Mm-hmm. And if it's someone who is making judgments on you, then you can shut them down or just choose to ignore them. Okay. But if it's negative and not related to what you're talking about, I would strongly urge people to not engage. A lot of times, if you have a dedicated audience, they will shut the person down.
Well said. And that's a great response. So one more question on thought leadership before I move to the next segment of our conversation. Can everyone become a thought leader?
I think they can. I really do. So if we think about, are we talking about just leaders or community leaders? I would say even social media influencers are sort of the today's thought leaders. The difference being leaders as thought leaders have a company to run, and influencers, their whole job is creating content, but they are thought leaders because they're living in their expertise and passion. If there is someone that wants their own social profile, I think absolutely everybody has. If you have an expertise and a passion for something, you can become a thought leader.
Which means what you're really saying is that everyone has a story to tell.
They absolutely do.
Okay. So then that's an interesting segue to the next segment of our conversation, which is to talk about your expertise in corporate storytelling.
That's right.
So tell me about the work you do helping corporates to tell their stories.
So that all ties into thought leadership. So it all ties together with a nice little bow. So when we work with CEOs as thought leaders, when we're helping them build out their platforms, we're telling their story. So we help them record it in such a way that it's storytelling. It's not, they're just not throwing facts out at people. But when we're not talking thought leadership, any company, whether it's entrepreneurial, I really love working with nonprofits, cause related, all have a story to tell. And so when we think about campaign-based, so whether it's a big brand, it's a Coca-Cola, or it's, you know, whatever it is, we would serve the public better if we communicated through storytelling. And by storytelling, I mean, you're getting your message across, but in that message, you're relating to your audience by making them feel something. Because we get thousands of messages a minute, apparently now, which is so hard to believe. We get, and so to differentiate, not only differentiate yourself, but help people to remember. Just, it gives them a moment to pause if we're telling them a story. Those that are interested, that it resonates with, will stop and just breathe for a minute. And those that aren't will continue on scrolling or on TV. But so much of what's on TV or radio is digitally based now that, you know, they can easily, unless it's a forced view, which I kind of like, they can scroll on. But the most success we've had in any campaign that we've done is story-based.
Amazing. And stories are always the quickest way to communicate and for the audience to remember. That I completely agree with what you're saying. But tell me, why, in your opinion, is it important for corporates to tell their stories?
Because people, people trust people and not brands. So it's the people in the brands. So if I can't relate to you as a person in that brand. So I'll just use Coca-Cola again, just because everybody knows them. If I just come out as if it was new, if I just come out as Coca-Cola and I'm saying this is a great drink and, you know, this is why you should drink it, what do I care, really? But if I come out and, you know, I'm being told a story about even the history of it and it's emotional. Now, what? Okay, so you might say, why doesn't everybody do this? Because it's not the easy route. It's more difficult to do storytelling that bring out your brand attributes and really connect with people to get their trust than it is to just come up with a quick funny. Now, funny is an emotion too, but you have to be careful that it's not just, you know, quick and funny and then doesn't really connect. But so people would connect with that and then it makes them feel good about the brand. So that's why, you know, when we talk to CEOs, we say, you know, people, you either you're out connecting with thought leadership or your brand has to be seen as a brand that has people that people can trust. Because, you know, you don't just automatically trust a name, right?
Sure. Yeah. Interesting. So, you know, Leanne, you're also a campaign builder. I'm reading about you. So my question to you is, what steps do you take to build a campaign for companies? And if you can illustrate this with an example without taking any names, that would help.
Sure. Names don't matter for this particular example, but it's probably because it's the best example. So for a cause-related campaign that we did. So when we build campaigns, we first start with, usually they have research and a problem that they're trying to solve. In this particular case, they had never done a campaign before and they wanted to teach people how to react to survivors of sexual violence. And in the past, anything that they'd done across Canada had been met with a lot of resistance because, you know, men were saying it was a male men were saying, you know, you're bashing us. And it's so important to not bash anybody. So we started there and they wanted to reach everyone, which people often say. And so we think about, okay, so who is the first target? Who's the second target? That helps us to decide what the media is going to be. Is it only going to be digital? Is it going to be TV and radio and digital? So you start to build on, and the messages have to be specific for that medium. And then as you, depending on the budget, as you build over the years, you can start to include the nice to have. So by the end of that campaign, which was very positive and probably the most successful campaign we've ever done, which was I Believe You, which was teaching people how to respond to survivors of sexual violence, is by the last year, which was a 5-year campaign, they had so much response that they had to set up a hotline for people to call because they couldn't handle all of the people calling in. And we were in movie theaters. So we'd gone from just PSA TV, a little bit of radio and digital to poster campaigns and full TV, full radio, movie theaters. Like it was huge. And it builds a campaign that people can believe in, builds community. And just that people, we would have people calling us to say, I'd really like to be involved in that campaign. So can we give you some free media? And I'd be like, yeah.
Wonderful.
So campaign builder is really, now that may not happen with something that's not cause related, but it is building who your primary, secondary audience is and how they consume their content.
Really interesting. So, Leanne, I have time for two more questions. I'm trying to figure out what to ask you. But my next question to you is, what is the role of strong leadership and culture in developing a good corporate story?
Because if leadership are not behind it, then it's very difficult for PR or marketing or a corporate storyteller to be able to implement that. So leadership and the CEO have to be behind, and I would say even it has to almost be part of the culture. The other thing that that the leadership are responsible for and why corporate storytelling is good for leadership is because it cultivates a positive culture. Because people want to feel a part of something. So they're, if they don't, if people don't know about a company and no one knows about it and they're not telling the story of how it started and why it's important, then especially with the new, with Generation Z coming up, they want to be a part of something. They get invested in a lot of things. And so it creates positive cultures. It builds trust with audience and customers and it helps people trust leadership. So it's a win-win, really. And I don't, I don't want to put too much on the corporate storytelling because there's lots of, a lot of companies that don't, and that's fine. But I just want people to think about how do we reach, how do we get a little bit of investment of time from people who are dealing with so much information coming at them?
Fascinating. And Leanne, my last question to you is now on, you know, the whole world is talking of ESG, sustainability, diversity, equity, inclusion. How important are all these as a part of a good corporate story?
Yeah, so I think that it, well, it's always important, always important. Now it depends on what they're talking about and who they're talking to. So it is maybe not the main message if a company is talking to Gen X, but definitely millennials and Gen Z are absolutely, they want to know, you know, what's your give back? You know, what am I getting involved in? How do I fit into this? Do I believe, because they need something to believe in and get invested in. And they want to know, I think the, like reducing your footprint and things like that. I think in a lot of ways that's automatically assumed now, because if a company is not doing that, then I would be surprised, but maybe there are. So that's a little bit more sort of a check the box, but in some of the other initiatives, I think, again, like the corporate storytelling, they want to be a part of something and who they are socially and how they give back as a company is just as important as in a lot of ways, the salary they're going to get. So in that way, I think it's very important because millennials and Gen Z want to be with a company that they can be proud of.
Very interesting.
Far more than when you and I were probably coming up and, you know, we had no idea. It was like, okay, you're giving me enough
money. You're so right. I wasn't even aware of a lot of these things when I started 40 years ago. But, you know, I think what you're saying today is very, very important. But Leanne, on that note, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for talking to me first about your ADHD. And thank you for sharing so much in detail. Thank you for talking about thought leadership, what goes into thought leadership, and how you are helping people to develop their thought leadership. And finally, thank you for telling me about how important corporate storytelling is. Thank you and good luck.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks, Ash.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.